Proverbs chapter number 16, and the Bible says in verse number 18, that's what we'll start to read tonight, a very familiar passage, and I might hit on some things tonight that not everybody would hit on, but we're going to go simple with the Lord and just preach tonight. Is that all right? The Bible says in verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. God, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. I ask you, God, to help us tonight. Lord, help every person in here. We thank you for the singing. Lord, we thank you for every that. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just help us. Give us guidance. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, the Lord has led us back into our series in the book of Proverbs. I did not know at all if I was going to go back to the series in Proverbs until after the revival. But just to give you a recap tonight on what we have done already, we've went through the satisfied man, the separated man, the seeing man, the sinning man, the silly man and his silliness. And so we've went through all of those things. And tonight, as we jump back into this study and knowing the text, I'm not going to teach tonight. Let me just go and say that. I ain't going to teach tonight like I have been in the book of Proverbs, but the Lord laid this clear and dear on my heart tonight, and I want to preach it. And it's not just directive, it's just to the scenario that's going on in our world today too. But as we jump into this study, knowing the text in which we have already read here, in Proverbs in chapter 16, I would like to preach on tonight the prideful man. The prideful man. Also, I would like to publicly announce this, and you can shout upon anything when it comes to this. I'd like to publicly announce in front of God and all of the internet and everybody else that Mountain Valley Baptist Church, nor any of its congregates, nor me, its pastor, nor anybody else of Mountain Valley Baptist Church will ever, ever, ever promote, support, or do anything else to the LGBT pride community. Yeah, man, never, ever, ever, I promise you anything besides witnessing to them and telling them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We denounce their sinful walk in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will never at Mountain Valley have anything to do with this mess. Yeah, man, June, our president has declared that June is Pride Month in America. Pride Month in America. They have, let me just tell y'all what they've done, friend. Is that all right tonight? Listen, it's okay. The reason that church ain't in politics, because politics ain't in church. Nobody's talking about things, and sin, right? Yeah, man, and this is what I got to say about it. They have brought it up that June of 2021 is Pride Month. It's Pride Week in Hendersonville. They have, right here close to home, they have brought that out. And they have also said over the past month or so that anybody, it does not matter, in the LGBTQ community can fight in our United States military. They can do that kind of stuff with freedom because they have the right to do so. And friend, I tell you, I don't like that. I don't like that because I like my military. And when it comes to that type of stuff, I don't care much for it. They have also stated that on every American embassy across the United States that they will now fly a pride flag underneath the American flag. That's not country. That's not God's country, friend. That's the devil's playground, and it don't need to be flying on no flagpole. Yeah, man, friend. I tell you, it's wicked and it's straight out of hell. Yeah, man, and they'll be in hell one day. I like what Asaph said in Psalms in chapter number 73. He was grunting and growling and complaining and everything you could possibly think of when it come to the facts of what the sinners are having to deal with. He went from the solid ground to the slippery ground and back to the shouting ground in that text there. And what he done at the end of it is he said there that until he was complaining, and then he said, until I realized their end. Friend, we can be down and out and all that. But there's one thing that ought to excite God's people. And that's, I ain't got to go to hell, neither do you. If you say, thank God. But these people need Jesus. And we are the ambassadors to give it to them. Amen. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're the worst sinner. I don't care if it's Stalin. I don't care if it's Marilyn Manson. Whoever you want to think of, they can be saved by God's grace. And we need to teach them and try to be ambassadors to them and tell them about Jesus. But I tell you, we ought not do it in hate. That's the biggest problem. Today, I was in a store, and one of them walked in front of me, and they walked behind me, and they were getting in line behind me, right? And so this is what I did. I could have looked at them with an ugly eye and said something wrong, or said, you know, you shouldn't be dressing that way, or you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, but you know what I done? I'm not boasting upon myself, but what I'm simply trying to say is this is a way to do something, to try to show them that you got something different than they do. I turned at her and I said, you can go in front of me. And this is what she said. Really? You gonna let me go in front of you? I said, I ain't got nowhere to go. You go on in front of me. Now, the point that I'm making here is that they're set in their ways and prideful and all of that. But what we live in the world today is a nation founded upon God. And even the church has left that. Amen, friend. All I'm saying is that we acknowledge what our president has announced. We acknowledge many things about that. But we as a congregation will stand with the word of God, stating it to be an abomination. Just as well as God states those six things in the book of Proverbs chapter number 6, they're an abomination too. I just wanted to get that cleared up. But as we get into our study tonight, I'd like to say I know this subject does not need much illustration or much instruction or introduction, rather because Solomon wastes no time introducing this sin, and neither will I tonight. Our text immediately, ultimately deals with one of the most common sins of society today. One of the most common sins in society today, it is the sin of pride. The sin of pride. One once said that pride is like cancer that slowly eats away at your life until eventually it consumes you. And that is true. Notice a few things in our text tonight about the sin of pride. Number one, we see in verse number 18 there, we see the display of this sin. Solomon wasted no time at all pointing out this sin. He puts it on display to begin with. No fancy intro, no adjectives to give it some fancy look to it. He just puts it out there straight and true. And I think it's high time for the men of God to put sins out straight and true. Quit trying to beat around the bush about things, friends. Listen, it needs to be straight as an arrow. Pride, notice pride is the first word in our text. Is that right? What's the last word? What's the last word of our text? Proud. Pride is the first. Proud is the, and that's a good illustration, fall. In between that, there's going to be a fall. There's going to be a fall, but I tell you is that notice a few things that this sin can, where this sin can be seen. Well, number one, it can be seen in a person's walk. Examples, if you were to think about this, a bodybuilder is most of the time prideful. When I used to lift weights, I used to be prideful. A bodybuilder is a prideful man. Mr. Tough Guy is a prideful man. A beautiful woman most of the time is pretty prideful. Because she knows what she got, and she's going to flaunt it because she got it. Is everybody all right? Hey, listen, all I'm saying is that that's prideful. That's prideful to do that kind of stuff. In a person walk, this is the first thing that is seen. It can also be prideful, number two, in a person's words. It can be seen in a person's word. They consistently talk about themselves all the time. They want everybody to know that their accomplishments. They brag on themselves. And this is what Spurgeon had to say about it. Spurgeon had to say, "None are more unjust in their judgment of others than those who have a high opinion of themselves." I tell you something, friend. God is the man that's going to do those things, and God needs to help us be slow to speak. Heard a story not long ago, may have told it here, I don't know. But I heard a story about this man who was a preacher, and they'd done a big pastor appreciation day. And as this preacher got up there, he said, "I got two words to tell you tonight." He said, "First, pray for me. Secondly, don't help God. Pray that God would help me not believe anything y'all told me." And that's the biggest thing, friend. I promise you, I know what it's like to get caught in pride. I know what it's like to get caught in pride and feel yourself high. I was 22 years old when I took this church. I hadn't even grown myself, but God wanted me to do it, so I did it. But I tell you something, is that it took some beating down and some bloodshed in the woodshed for God to get me where I am today. And I still got a long ways to go, friend, till I get to the end. I'll never get there, friend, I tell you. But it's a person, in a person's walk, in a person's words, and also in a person's wealth. The Bible says that there was a certain rich man there was a certain beggar who laid at the gate at a rich man's gate, and the rich man fared sumptuously every day. Sumptuously every day. Some folk, that's in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, some folk think they're better than others simply because they have more than others. God help us to not ever feel that way, friend. We ought to be given to the poor. We ought to be given to the needy. We ought to be given to missions. There's one thing about it, friend. Prosperity builds pride is what prosperity does. And the Lord said what He would do with that person. I don't know if you can ever find it in your Bible, but the smallest book in the book of in the Old Testament, Obadiah, in chapter number 1, it's the only chapter in Obadiah. It's after the book of Amos, before the book of Jonah, if you can never find it. Obadiah said in chapter 1 in verse 2, "Behold," verse 3, "the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock." This is the Lord speaking, by the way. "The clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down." And then it says three words to end those verses, "saith the Lord." Lord. You get up there on the habitations of your life and think you're higher than everybody beneath you, friend. God will put you down real fast. He's going to put you down, friend. D.L. Moody said, "I'd rather beg for bread like the poor man at the gate than beg for water in hell like the rich man." And I tell you something, friend, that's true. And in our wealth, that's some place it can be seen. We ought to be given a whole lot more than we're getting in. Isn't that hard to think about? Isn't that hard to think about? From our mortal mind, we ought to be given a lot. And I don't know if any of us do that. Including me. I'm talking about everybody. But all I'm saying is that God's... Here's what I'm trying to say, real clear and lowly. God never told us to get, but He did tell us to give. But God did tell us that He would supply our needs according to His riches and glory. Right? He said He'd never leave us, never forsake us. He'd be with us always, even until the end of the world. So if we were to put that comparison together, we'd find that we're not to give to get, but we're rather to give to give. Amen. And that's what we ought to do in life. Give to give. You ain't got enough money, take on another missionary. That's what they do in churches, friend. And I've seen it many times. God has provided tremendously for this church. Now you tell me, friend, I don't know how many was here for the last business meeting. I only think we had a few. But let me just tell y'all something real quick. You tell me how in the world we took on 2 extra missionaries this month, and from last month's business meeting to this month's business meeting, we had more money than we did and less people. Y'all tell me. Tell me how it's possible. Still paid me the same. Still paid all of our missions that month, which is about 17, by the way. Y'all know we got 17 missionaries in this church? Isn't that amazing? And the lowest one's $50 a month. Now tell me how that's possible. With God, all things are possible. Is that right? So I'm saying, friend, is we had more than we had before. And less people all month long. And took on 2 extra missionaries. But God. That's all I could say about it. My mind was fuzzed when I thought about that. I mean, just thinking about how big the God of heaven is. We're about to spend $6,000 or $7,000 on this revival, but I promise you, God's going to provide our every need. Yeah, man, I'd much rather go to heaven with $0 in my bank account than $5,000. That's all I'm saying, friend, because I don't want to stand in front of God and God look at me and say, you see that $5,000 in your bank account, friend? You ought to have gotten rid of that and gave it to the poor. God, help me. Man, I'm getting convicted up here. I need to quit preaching. Yeah, man, I'm leaving this church when I get down from here anyways. Yeah, man, a person's walk, it can be seen. A person's words, a person's wealth. Also, it's in a person's witness, it can be seen. Let me just say this, friend. You'll never win anybody to Christ when telling them all that you have done instead of telling him all that he has done. You'll never win somebody to Christ that way, friend. The person that is full in pride in their witness, it will show in their countenance. Yeah, man. You ain't got to point it out either. God will point it out. God appoint whatever He wants to be out. And He says He'll make it manifest for everybody. Yeah, man. In a person's walk, words, their wealth, their witness, and also it's well seen in a person's wardrobe. Now, it's interesting how a change of clothes can change a person's attitude. All right. Y'all know somebody probably. I mean, how a wardrobe can change somebody's attitude. A prison garment can change the person's attitude before they went in prison. That's my example for you. You know what else can change somebody's attitude? You put a 61-year-old lady in a pair of 16-year-old clothes, and I promise you her attitude gonna change about herself. I promise you. All I got to say is what Raymond Sorrells, my Bible college instructor, this is what he had to say about that. He said, nobody wanted to look at you when you were 16-year-old. Put some clothes on because nobody won't look at you when you're 61 years old either. Yeah, man, all I got to say, he said, you ugly. You just need to sit down. And all that's my Bible college instructor. Thank God for him. Amen. All I'm saying, friend, is that when we live in this life, our wardrobe ought to in detail, tell about Christ. I mean, tell about Jesus Christ. I mean, when somebody sees me in a suit, they immediately going to think I'm a preacher. Especially in the South. I mean, he must be a preacher because there ain't no lawyers live around here. Yeah, man, there ain't nobody. I'm just saying that. All I'm saying is that he's either a liar or one that tells the truth. That's how they compare you. If you're in a suit, you either lie all the time or tell the truth all the time. One of the two. And I don't do either one. So, I'm just kidding. I try not to lie. But anyways, all I'm saying is that when we live in this world, friend, there is people that's going to defy you and going to put a definition on you just by what you wear. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that you know a harlot when you see her. Because there's a such thing called a harlot's attire. Amen, friend. And your pride can be seen in your wardrobe. Sure enough, it can be seen in your wardrobe. All I got to say is it can be seen in your person's worship. A person's worship, pride is so wicked it will even try to rob God of His glory. It will. It will try to take the focus off of God and put it on man. I mean, all I'm saying is this one of the most common but least dealt with things that happen in our churches today. It's one of the most common things, but the least dealt with things ever in the church. Amen. Amen. Don't get distracted now. Listen to me. It's one of the most common things that happens today in churches. From the pulpit to the pew. It's one of the most common things that happened. You know, if you're singing for clap, sit down. Amen. If you're singing for clap, sit down. If you're coming to the altar for clap, sit down. Amen. If you're coming for anything, if you're coming to the church to see somebody else besides God and His Holy Spirit move among you, sit down. Amen. It ain't about you. It's all about Him. Amen. Amen. Not only can it be seen in person's walk, their words, their wealth, their witness, their wardrobe, their worship, but also it can be seen in a person's will. Stubbornness, rebellion, and contrariness are all cousins to pride. Now think about this. Stubbornness and rebellion. Rebellion is what puts a man in sin. Because they're rebelling against God. There's many times that people have left this church in rebellion to what I said that day. All I'm saying, friend, is that is nothing but pride in your life. Yeah, man, they work all together, friend. They work all together. So we see the display of this sin. We got to hurry. Secondly, we see the direction of this sin. The direction of this sin, the Bible clearly teaches us that pride is on the move. Pride is on the move continually. When you start on the path of pride, you are headed somewhere. You're headed somewhere. Well, let me tell you something. Number one, it's leading you away from God's Word. It's leading you away from God's Word. People who have a pride problem typically quote the Bible but do not know the Bible. They typically know the Bible but do not know the author of the Bible. Amen, friend. Now, let me just tell you something is that they use it as a clutch for their sinless ways and their sinful ways. Excuse me. The biggest verse that is ever quoted when you call out a sin on Facebook or in person is judge not lest ye be judged. Everybody knows that verse. God help. God help, friend. Let me just tell you something. It's nothing close to the Word of God. They can take it out of context all day long, all they want to. They can say that David and Jonathan were sodomites. Have you ever heard that? I have. David and Jonathan were sodomites because David loved him so much. Loved him so much. Song of Solomon, as they were writing Song of Solomon over there, he was a sodomite. He was a sodomite because there was three of them involved. There was the king, there was the woman, and the Shunammite woman. Then there was the servant. The king, the servant, and then the woman. This is what they say. They say, well, that king and that servant was with the same woman. If you've ever read the 8 chapters in the book of Song of Solomon, you'd probably find out that it is portrayed like that. But if you look in it a little bit deeper, you'll find that the king and the servant are the same person. Ain't that good when the king's a servant? Amen, friend. It's a type of Christ all day long. They the same person. They the same person. And yes, it is a chapter of intimacy, but it's got a pure type of the intimacy with the love of God and His bride, you and I. Yeah, man. Now, I don't think and I don't believe that that book was written, the Song of Solomon. I've done studies through it, list of messages, all that. And I don't believe that the book of Song of Solomon was written in a type of, was written directively from a type of Christ. But I do believe that it was written as Solomon and the relationship with his wife. The Solomon and the relationship with his wife. And it was a strong marriage. Till chapter 5. They went through some struggles. But after that, they come back together and everything was great again. But he still had concubines. We know that Solomon had how many? 300 concubines, 700 wives. He had a lot. Let me just put it that way. But if you don't know, Song of Solomon was written for his first wife. and was written as his life with his wife. And it was great. It's great. You ought to read 8 chapters there. Wouldn't take you 15 minutes to read them. Read them and consider the things. That's the only time in the Bible that Jesus is called the day star as a type. It's the only time in the Bible that Jesus is ever called, and he's not directly called this. It's not talking about Jesus. It's talking about the husbandman, which is a type of Jesus. It's the only time in the Bible that Jesus is called Lily of the Valley. It's the only time that Jesus is called Bright Morning Star, because there was such a relationship between the bride and the husbandman. And I know I got off, but I tell y'all something, friend. Y'all ought to get in that book. And it does. And don't ever, let me just give you men some advice real quick. If you go home and listen to my advice and read the book of Song of Solomon, those 8 chapters, let me give you some advice. Don't ever compliment your wife like Solomon complimented his wife. That's the only advice I got for you, friend. Amen. Because the whole thing about it is that the direction of this sin is leading these people away from God's book. I know I got off. I know I did. But it's leading them away from God's book. Harry Ironside said, pride is a barrier to all spiritual progress. That's true. That's true. It's leading them away from God's book. It's leading them away from God's boundaries. Did you know that God has boundaries? Amen. I'm going to turn over to the book of Ezekiel and read a few verses there real quick. In Ezekiel in chapter number 16. In verse number 49. The Bible says in verse 49, Ezekiel chapter 16, behold, this was the inquiry of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread. Pride was noticed first, right? Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. This is God speaking. Now, I just want you to think about something, friend. Pride, laziness, not giving to the poor and needy, arrogant, and sodomites, and that's why God took them off of this earth. Does that sound like anything today? Who's next? America? Who's next? I mean, these people, and they're allowing them to do this. They got pride stamped over everything right now, friend. They are lazy dogs is what they are, friend. And God does not make a slothful person or bless a slothful person. And what God said is that the reason he wiped off Sodom and Gomorrah from this earth with a bunch of fire was they were lazy in well-doing. They weren't doing anything good. They were not giving to the poor. They were not, you know, God, that was a part of why God wiped them off the earth. You want to say God wiped them off because of all the sodomites. That's one reason why God wiped them off. But because they were prideful. Maybe they were holding up a sign that says pride. All I'm saying, friend, is that the welfare that we're living in today, they're giving them money and handing it out. Yeah, man, it's pride why God wiped them off the earth. It's idleness why God wiped them off the earth. It's laziness because they wouldn't give to nobody because they didn't have anything besides what people gave them. And it's arrogance is why God wiped them off the earth. And then it's sodomite. Then it's the LGBTQ. Then it's all that kind of stuff and God wiped them off the face of the earth. Friend, listen, it's leading you away from God's boundaries. Amen. It's leading you away from God's blessings. You will never be blessed by God if you give Him nothing of you but expect Him to give you everything Him. Amen. You never will. It's leading you away from God's business. Give to give, friend. Don't get caught up on giving to get. It's God's business to give. It's God's business to witness. It's God's business to do His work. And if you do it just for credibility, you never done it for God's business anyway. Amen. It's pride. It's pride, the display of sin, the direction of sin. Thirdly, the destruction of sin. The Bible says in verse 18 that pride goeth before destruction. So therefore, it's moving to destruction. Amen. There's many things pride will destroy, beloved. Y'all know that, right? Many things pride will destroy. Let me tell you, pride will destroy your family. It will destroy your family. You'll end up winning the battle but losing the war. Amen, friend. Our kids need to see someone full of Him instead of full of self. Amen. Pride will destroy your friends. Nobody ever want to be around you anymore, friend, because it's all about you. Amen, friend. Pride will destroy your faith. If He's not increasing, you're not decreasing. Let me ask you a question. Who's doing what? Amen, friend. The likelihood is you'll go up and He'll go down. Simple. Pride will destroy your family, friends, and faith. And also, let me tell you something, kids. Look up here. Pride. Mean thinking that you are better than everybody will destroy your future. It will destroy your future. You'll never have anything at all. Kids, learn humbleness. Learn how to be meek and lowly, because that's how Jesus was. Yeah, man, pride will destroy. It's a pure seed of the devil himself, and all he wants to do is destroy your life. Thief coming out, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Thank God he came. Give life and give more abundance. Amen. The display of the sin, the direction of the sin, destruction of the sin. Thirdly, the depth of the sin. Now the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Uphold the humble in spirit. Let me tell you, in our text, it speaks of a man's spirit. In both our texts, in verse 19 and verse 18, and also in verse 29, and chapter 29, verse 23, it speaks of a man's spirit. Well, let me just tell you something, but in Proverbs 29, 23, it says it'll take them low, right? That's a depth. It's the deepness of life. It will take you low. Let me just say this, it goes deeper than a person's face. Pride goes deeper than a person's face. It's speaking of spirit, right? Said it three times in three verses. It goes deeper than a face. Pride makes the person truly believe what his heart says. Amen. It impacts men. It impacts women, kids, everybody. They look in the mirror. Man, I look good. I used to do it. Man, I look worth anything. But I look good. Man, I look good. Hey, all I'm saying, friend, is that gets to your mind, and it goes deeper than your face. It goes much deeper than your face. Pride, it goes deeper than a person's face. It goes deeper than a person's fashion. Listen, all I got to say, it's not just because they spent $1 million on that dress. They got a heart problem. Amen. It goes deeper than a person's finances. It's not just because they have millions of dollars in their bank account why they're so prideful. It goes deeper than that, friend. It goes to the heart. It goes deeper than a person's flesh. Our text tells us that it has to do with a person's spirit. Look over Proverbs 16 and verse 5. The Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. How about that? Amen. All I got to say, friend, is that you can be right theologically and wrong in the spirit. Amen. That's how it is. You know, every church responds to preaching differently. And you'll go to some churches, and as long as you show them some love, they are for it. And you go to some churches that if you just scream and point fingers, they're for it. You go to some churches, you raise your voice just a lick, and they out of it. Amen. All I'm saying, friend, is the heart speaks volume with the mouth when the mouth doesn't move. Amen. The display of this sin, the direction, the destruction, the depth. Fifthly, the defeat of this sin. The Bible says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's easy to become prideful, friend. I've got a few questions for you that I had to ponder on myself as the Lord was giving them to me. It was every time. Listen to me. Think about this. When is the last time you focused on your faults? When's the last time you focused on your faults? Set aside someone else's and thought about your own. When's the last time you done that? God help. When's the last time you focused on your failures? Yeah, man, we fail every day. Many times I spend my time talking to the Lord, my dearest friend, as my dearest friend, about my constant failures. And I ask myself consistently, why did He love me? Why did He love me? I fail and then I put my head down and He picks it back up again. Why does He love us? Why does he love us? We go to him about our failures consistently because we're taught that confess your sins, he's faithful and just, forgive you of all your sins, forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And we go to him and we tell him about these sins. But then afterwards, we lift our head up because he is the lifter of our head still, even when we fail him. When's the last time you thought about your own personal failures? When's the last time you focused on your frustrations? When you get upset and annoyed about something that could have easily been overlooked. Yeah, man. You know, I've never heard somebody talking about themselves as much as they talk about others. Or even like they talk about others. Never. Yeah, man. Listen, we can say all day long, man, I wish that person would stop cussing. And meanwhile, we're over here saying bywords that sound just the same. Yeah, man, friend. I mean, all I'm saying is that is us. And if we get frustrated about something, why don't we walk away? Listen, men, I'm talking about myself too. It's time to be a man. Amen. It's time to leave things. And women, it's time to let things go. Because things are not worth what we make them half the time. Y'all realize that, right? Y'all know I'm speaking to myself too. Things are not worth what we think they're worth. All the time, and we need to focus on our own frustrations before we ever. The Bible says in Matthew that before you ever point out the I cannot remember the splinter. It's a top. It's I cannot remember the word. What? The moat. The moat. But no, that's in your eye. Before you ever point out the splinter in somebody else's eye, look at the moat in your own eye. The moat's a big piece of stick, and the splinter's a little bitty thing. Before you ever do that, you ought to look in your own eye. Before you judge somebody else, you ought to look at what you've done. Before you say God can't forgive them, we ought to look at what we have been forgiven for. Yeah, man, when's the last time you focused on your faults, your failures, your frustrations? It'd do us well to start focusing on our own before we ever focus on somebody else's. Amen, yeah, friend. Y'all know I'm right. Amen. The display of this sin, the direction, the destruction, the depth, the defeat. And then lastly, we see this tonight, and I'll be done. We see the deception of this sin. The Bible says at the end of verse 19, it says, it's better to have a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Yeah, man, this is a deceptive act of Satan himself. Y'all know that, right? Pride is. He's gotten this pride so deep in the world that we live in today, it's simply deception. The Bible says in the book of Romans in chapter number 1 that God is going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. So the Bible says that when they get to a point where they're worshiping the creature more than they're worshiping the Creator, and when man is laying and doing things which are unseemly to nature, that God will turn them over to a reprobate mind, which means God says no. That's a scary thought, ain't it? Yeah, man, let me just tell you something, friend. It in other words, you gain nothing by allowing pride to run your life. Nothing. You gain nothing from it. As we see today, it will bind you, it will blind you, and it will bury you eventually. Because pride is something that we ain't going to mess with, friend. Pride really doesn't bring any prosperity to your life. Amen. It only brings, what does the Bible say? Pride goeth before destruction. When you divide what you gain with the proud, you come up short every time. That's what the end of verse 19 is saying to you. When you divide your spoil with the proudful, what you're going to do is come up short every single time. It's just like Proverbs in chapter number 1, verse number 15, when it talks about one man's purse. Let us have one man's purse. Let's just get one purse together. Friend, all I got to say is, I like quotes. I love reading. I love reading quotes. And this is what Spurgeon said, and I want you to listen. I'm done after this. Spurgeon put it this way. Mackenzie, could you come play for a minute? Spurgeon put it this way. Pride cometh in all different shapes and sizes. There is the pride of face, that's your appearance. There's the pride of race, and that is your skin color. There is the pride of place, and that is your place in society. And there's the pride of grace, and that is your place with, as a Christian. And I tell you something, beloved, Jesus made himself to no reputation. Meek and lowly was he. He came here and made himself to no reputation so that you could have a reputation in this world. Stand to your feet tonight. Oh, I got to say, I normally don't do an altar call, but I feel the Lord nudging my heart a little bit because I need to pray in the altar in a minute too. Listen to me. Jesus made himself a man of no reputation. Paul, or John rather, John said in John chapter 3 verse 30 that he must increase and I must decrease. If you find yourself a little prideful about some things, you can't keep your mouth off yourself. I believe it'd do you good to get an altar tonight. Listen to me. Paul said, God forbid that I glorify in the cross. That's where 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, 18. God forbid that I glorify in Jesus' cross. It's His glory, not my glory. Amen. And Paul said, God forbid that I get anything out of that. Yeah, man, it's sad to see how prideful this generation, or rather this nation has become that we live in today. It's sad to see how prideful that my generation has become. It's sad. Friend, listen, give them trophies. Give them trophies and they didn't even do anything. Give them trophies. That's what made this world prideful. They think they deserve it all. Yeah, man, friend. That causes pride, is all that's going to cause. That's it. May the Lord help us tonight to keep a constant check on our heart and not allow the pride to creep its way in.